40 years ago today in Vietnam, the North Vietnamese Army was closing in on Saigon in the south. As the North encircled the southern city, Americans and many of their South Vietnamese allies were frantically trying to get out of the country. The last American helicopter left the morning of April 30th. The image of that last helicopter taking off from a rooftop, leaving behind crowds of South Vietnamese, is an iconic one for many Americans. Later on that same day, the North Vietnamese Army captured Saigon, and the South Vietnamese Army surrendered.
In the words of General Minh, we are here to hand over the power of government to you in order to avoid bloodshed. It is unilateral ceasefire and an unconditional surrender. The 30-year war in South Vietnam is at last over.
That report from 40 years ago was found by journalist Jim Laurie. He was in Saigon for NBC News. Laurie was one of the few American journalists who stayed behind as nearly everyone else evacuated. He then covered the communist takeover of Saigon, which was renamed Ho Chi Minh City after the North Vietnamese leader. Jim Laurie, your perspective is such a valuable one as we look back now. Would you remind us what happened in those last days of the war and of the American investment of blood and treasure in Vietnam?
Well, of course, Lisa, we have had a war there which went on from 1954, really, right up until 1975, with the commitment of American troops at its peak. More than 450,000 American troops were in Vietnam. Over the course of the war, somewhere between 1.5 and 3.6 million casualties, deaths on both sides, North Vietnam, South Vietnam, and of course, the Americans and their allies that fought for so many years. Arguably the most divisive, most controversial war in American history, with the possible exception of the American Civil War.
And why was it so divisive?
This was a war that was in many respects a proxy war. There was fear in Asia of communist takeover, particularly after the communist takeover of China. There was the domino theory, in which one by one Southeast Asian countries, in theory, would go communist. So there was this initial support, but then as the war dragged on, the mood changed. And then we move into this final stage, 1973 to 1975, the period that I know best because I first went to Cambodia and then into Vietnam during this period.
And as you look back to 40 years ago this week, I wonder what the most prominent images are that you recall from April 29th and April 30th.
April 29th was this remarkable evacuation. It was poorly planned. It was at the very last minute. It was supposed to be an airplane and ship evacuation. The airport, however, got knocked out by North Vietnamese and Viet Cong artillery, and therefore it became a helicopter evacuation from the roof and the grounds of the U.S. Embassy in downtown Saigon. It went on for more than 24 hours. They managed, between the ships and the helicopters, to take out well over 35,000 Vietnamese plus American personnel in this very short period of time. Now, I arrived at the embassy as the last American helicopter was taking off, taking U.S. Marines out to the South China Sea. A remarkable scene, as at that point, the Vietnamese who were around the embassy besieged the building, looted the building. The tension continued, and 2 hours later, the North Vietnamese with their tanks arrived in the city in force.
Okay, we have a piece of tape of you interviewing people at the American Embassy that day, that last day when the final American helicopter had left. Before we hear the tape, tell us about what we're going to hear.
We were outside the embassy after that U.S. Marine helicopter departed from the roof, and some were coming to me. I was probably standing out as the only non-Vietnamese in front of the embassy, coming to me asking for my help.
We don't want to stay here in a way.
I understand. The Americans are gone.
Yes, I know that, but I must come in case, just in case.
But there's no way because all the helicopters are gone.
Can you help us?
There is no way I can help because we are staying here. We are staying in Saigon.
And these people, did they all want to leave? Were they trying to get out with the Americans?
Some of them had American IDs. They had at one point worked for the Americans. Mind you, there were many, many rumors that were flooding Saigon at this time. Vietnamese were sometimes believing the propaganda that was coming from various sources, saying that you'd be forced to marry a North Vietnamese disabled soldier. If you had polished fingernails, your fingernails would be ripped out. There was all kinds of rumors flooding Saigon at that time. As it turned out, it was a remarkably peaceful takeover. It was a remarkably peaceful period for the next 25 days that I remained in Saigon.
We should say, you say that the 25 days after the North took over Saigon in the South, it was calmer than expected. But that's not to say that it was without bloodshed and without great difficulty, especially for those people who had been identified as being part of the South Vietnamese Army and had worked with the Americans.
What was interesting, though, Lisa, is that in the beginning, there was a very sort of peaceful period. Yes, soldiers of the South Vietnamese Army, what the Vietnamese then called the American Puppet Army, removed their uniforms, tried to disguise their identity. Gradually, there was a registration process, but the horrible period, that is, the period where many hundreds of thousands of sympathizers to the Americans were put in re-education camps, that period began about 6 months to a year later. And some people who had been, in the North Vietnamese view, collaborators with the Americans, spent as many as 10 to 15 years in re-education camps. Some never came out.
I wonder if you would mind, Jim, if we ask you a little bit about your personal involvement in Vietnam versus professional. You are married to a woman who was South Vietnamese. She was 18 years old at the time of the evacuation, and she did get out. Is that correct?
Yes, the great irony was I was going into Vietnam covering the story, and my wife, who I did not know in those days, was desperately trying to get out. She managed to get out on a ship down the Saigon River and left Saigon just after midnight, 29 into the 30th of April, 1975, and was picked up by the U.S. 7th Fleet off the coast of Vietnam. And like many refugees, and after her, there were something between 1.5 and 2 million Vietnamese refugees that fled Vietnam in the period 1975 to 1995. So she was one of the first of this group of Vietnamese refugees in this exodus that began that day.
And has she been back? I know you have.
We've all been back. In fact, she was one of the earliest to go back. She went back as early as 1985, so 10 years after the events. I started to go back to Vietnam in 1979 and have pretty much gone back every year. There is a tremendous economy now in Vietnam. With the overseas Vietnamese, many of those who left the country between 1975 and 1995 coming back and playing a great part in building what is a very vibrant economy in Vietnam today.
You are featured, Jim, in a documentary that's airing on PBS this week, a documentary called Last Days in Vietnam. I wonder, as you reflect on this 40th anniversary, from your perspective, how maybe your own view of what happened 40 years ago has changed over the decades. Has it changed?
I'm not sure it has changed very much. I regard, of course, Vietnam as a great tragedy in terms of the war. It was a tragedy for the Vietnamese, most of all, and it was a tragedy for the Americans. It was, in my view, a ill-chosen conflict that the Americans got into, and the end was not particularly noble. In the documentary that was on PBS, Henry Kissinger says that he thought the peace treaty would lead to sort of a North and South Korea situation with two independent nations. Well, that was never really, in my view, even a possibility. For one thing, in Korea, we have maintained more than 30,000 troops for 60 years to keep those countries stable. There was never any possibility of that in Vietnam.
Very good to talk to you on this 40th anniversary. Jim Laurie, who covered the fall of Saigon 40 years ago this week for NBC News. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks, Lisa.